Hello and welcome to the Science Rundown for Thursday, August 3rd. I'm Pedro Flores. The top science stories are next, but after that, I'll be interviewing Jan Null, a meteorologist and vehicular heatstroke expert, and stick around later for more science trivia. On July 29th, the highly anticipated Hyperloop 1 successfully passed its first passenger pod test in the Nevada desert. The pod traveled a test route of 1,600 feet and reached a peak speed of 192 miles per hour. Earlier this year in May, it completed the first test of its Nevada DevLoop track. However, the pod only traveled 30 meters and topped out at 69 miles per hour. According to Shervin Pishavar, co-founder of Hyperloop One, quote, "This is the beginning and the dawn of a new era of transportation, the first new form of transportation in 100 years, and it sounds incredible. It's the future, and it's going to basically change the way we live, where we work, and make the world a much smaller place and turn cities into metro stops," end quote. According to its website, Hyperloop One uses magnetic levitation technology to guide and lift the pod off the track. A series of vacuum pumps remove air from the tube, simulating flight at 200,000 feet above sea level, which reduces drag so that the extraordinary speeds are achieved with very little electricity. The team eventually aims for it to go as fast as 650 miles per hour. To check out the video, click on the link I've attached. You can use your smartphone to become a citizen scientist. As you know, we've been reporting extensively about the Great American Solar Eclipse, which is coming up on Monday, August 21st. But now you can be a part of the research too, by collecting data on your smartphone. According to astronomer Alex Filipenko of UC Berkeley, quote, "This is the first eclipse crossing over a major landmass in the era where lots of people have digital devices," end quote. So here are four apps you can use to be a part of the action. The GLOBES Program Observer app is used by students in the K-12 school system for research projects through the GLOBE Education Program. By cataloging changes in your local environment, such as cloud cover, temperature, wind speed, etc., you can help students in NASA understand what happens with a relatively abrupt drop in sunlight. The iNaturalist app can help scientists understand how the eclipse influences animal and plant behavior. Even though the eclipse will only last about 2.5 minutes, past eclipse watchers have reported stories of birds falling silent and squirrels retreating to their dens. What about our pets, livestock, or zoo animals? The Eclipse Soundscapes Project will collect audio recordings from 12 national parks with narration of events unfolding in the sky for the visually impaired. You can add your own nature sound bites too, such as crickets chirping or animals falling silent. And finally, the Eclipse Mega Movie Project will be the first of its kind crowdsourced filming of the eclipse as it spans the country over a 90-minute period. 1,000 trained volunteers along with the public can snap pictures and video, which will all be stitched together, creating a continuous view from Oregon to South Carolina. To watch a cool simulation, click on the small link. Hey guys, it's Thursday, so let's do some trivia, shall we? Your question of the day is this. This chemical element makes up about a fourth of the Earth's crust. It's the main ingredient of sand and the main ingredient of glass, and it's used in making computers. It can also be made into synthetic rubber. What is this element? Call in with your answer. Whoever calls in first with the correct response will have their answer played here on the Science Rundown. Hi guys, coming up on the Science Rundown, we'll be interviewing Jan Null, a meteorologist and vehicular heatstroke expert. He'll be giving us best practices for preventing hot car deaths. All right, so Jan Null is a certified consulting meteorologist with the Department of Meteorology and Climate Science at San Jose State University. Jan, thanks for joining us today on the Science Rundown.
My pleasure.
So far, 29 children have died this year of vehicular heat stroke, and 11 of those have been in the past month.
Right, and those are the 11 is not the highest monthly total, but 29 for the first 7 months of the year is the highest that we've ever seen since we've been recording this data.
Yeah, and you've been recording this data since 2001. What compelled you to get into this field?
I got involved after the death of a young child in the San Jose, California area. I was asked by the media how hot it had gotten in the car that day, and I figured, you know, well, that's something I could easily find, and there were really no comprehensive studies. So The next year I did a comprehensive study looking at 16 different days with temperatures ranging from 72 to 96 degrees. And eventually in 2005, working with a couple ER doctors from Stanford, we published that in the journal Pediatrics. And now it has become the go-to study on the topic.
So it seems as though you went, you covered the span of meteorologist, researcher, and academic also, right?
Right, and yeah, and actually I've now been court qualified as an epidemiologist, as a person who tracks these sort, you know, deaths due to diseases and other causes.
Wow. Could you tell us a little bit about what is vehicular heat stroke?
Right. Well, the full title is pediatric vehicular heat stroke. So pediatric is obviously children. Vehicular is in any type of vehicle. It could be a car, a truck, an SUV, a van. And then heat stroke is when basically the human body's thermoregulatory system gets overwhelmed by hot environmental conditions around it, and then start going through a series of changes. And as your body temperature gets to be 104 degrees, that's a clinical definition for heat stroke, and you start feeling ill effects. It can be things from cramping to convulsions to unconsciousness. When the body reaches 107 degrees, that's when cells inside organs in the body begin dying. And the organs shut down, and typically you will have a cascade of organs shutting down, and death can occur fairly rapidly.
Now, 19 states have unattended child laws. Have those efforts resulted in a decrease in car deaths?
You know, the sorts of numbers we are looking at, and when the implementation dates of those laws have been, and most of those have been in the last 10 years, not over the whole period going back to 1998, which is 19 years. So it's really hard to draw any conclusions about how well those laws have been working. For example, the state with the highest totals by far is Texas. They've had over 110 deaths going back to 1998, and that's one of the states that has a law against leaving children unattended.
Wow. Now, there's also some legislation, and car manufacturers are getting into helping prevent this. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. There is, you know, like a lot of our society today, there are lots of technological answers to these sorts of problems. And I'm contacted weekly, and actually in the last 2 weeks, since a lot of the interest about the most recent cases, almost every day by an inventor or an entrepreneur who has a solution on how to have an alarm, a device, some sort of methodology, an app that will remind people that they have left a child in a vehicle. Though the thing is, those sorts of solutions, and I should also mention there are a couple car manufacturers have built-in apps now. General Motors had one starting last year. Now it's expanded into a number of vehicles. Tesla has one, and I think I just saw Nissan next year. Some of their models will have reminder systems built into the vehicle.
I couldn't hear you for a second. Sorry, no. There's a misconception that all hot car deaths are related to parents leaving their children in hot cars, but 5%. Tell us a little bit about that statistic.
Sure, you know, the focus on a lot of the technology is for the 54% of the cases of children dying in hot cars who are accidentally forgotten by a parent or other caregiver. But another 45% are where they have either gotten into a vehicle on their own. Car is unlocked, they get into the car, they're overcome by the heat, or in cases where a parent or caregiver makes a bad decision to leave the child in the car while they go do something else. That can be get the hair done, go to an appointment, go to the racetrack, go to the casino, lots of all bad ideas of, you know, reasons to leave your child in the car. But the technological answers and this Hot Cars Act that has been introduced into Congress to mandate that car manufacturers put sensing devices in their vehicles does not address that last 45% of the cases. So, I think it's really important that we look at technology as just one layer of protection for children that die in hot cars. We need to look at solutions for the entire spectrum of these reasons.
Yeah, and since you've been researching this for almost 20 years, I mean, what are your conclusions? What are the best practices that we can do as parents? I'm a parent, and I can imagine other parents have felt the way I have in the past, where you've had these these opportunities where you may have left your child behind and you just were preoccupied. What have you learned in the last 20 years about this?
Well, you know, there are some common sense sorts of practices that people need to get used to. Number one, never leave a child unattended in a car, not even for a minute. People should develop a routine for, always checking the back seat for your child. You know, do a walk around to your car. Just make that part of getting out of the car and getting that child out. You can also have a visual reminder. You can put a stuffed animal in the car seat when the child isn't there. When you put the child into the car seat, put the stuffed animal up on the front seat with you as a reminder. Or put one of those, things that we always grab as we get out of the car. It can be, a wallet, a purse, your lunch, your cell phone, which is a win-win. Put that in the back seat when you put the child back there. So you're going to grab those as well as your child when you get out of the car.
That's great advice. Thank you so much for being on the show, and thanks for being a champion for this cause. How do our listeners get more information about you?
They can find out just about everything they want to know, and probably even a lot more than that, at website noheatstroke.org.